Hello and welcome to Awakenings. I'm your host, co-pilot Michelle Mache, and fellow traveler on the path, frequent flyer. Hello everyone listening via Cosmic D, and hello everyone listening in the sacred space of empowerment, also known as the chat room. Going to be one of those days. I had some just bizarre stuff with the computer, and it's probably because Maisha is going to be on later. Many of you have heard her on Awakenings before, metaphysician, very dialed in. So the frequencies are already raising and expanding. And of course, that music was by Marco May, even though on my uploads it says Ascension by David Atwell, but I shall not be fooled. I know that that was Marco May, who was also on the program. Amazing singer, songwriter, composer from Canada. Also, I want to put out, anybody speak French? Parlez-vous français? Un peu? I only speak a little, that means. That's about it. Oui. even though that's part of my background. And my grandfather actually was a linguist, spoke 7 languages. So I don't know. My mind doesn't retain too much stuff unless I'm in the land, in the environment. And obviously grew up speaking Spanish, but not retaining much of that. Must be my galactic roots. Anyway, because I think it's May 25th, we have someone from Canada that will be here, French-Canadian. And if you, anyone in the chat room or want to call in, because French is their first language, and I might need a little assistance. But otherwise, it'll all flow. He actually called in at one point to the program, so he seemed to be fine. But we shall manage. So how's everybody doing? I see everyone getting in the chat room, Sacred Space of Empowerment. Hello, hello. If you do want to listen by phone, that's great. The number's 347-539-5122. If you have questions or comments, just press 1 on the keypad, and that lets me know. That gives me a heads up so that I pick up, and so I know that you're not in the office or something. I've done that before, and people whispering to me, Michelle, I can't talk. I can't talk now. I'm in the office. Oh, okay, you're in the office. And then, of course, I start whispering. Or I had a caller not pick up, and then emailed me and said, I was driving while I was listening to you, and I didn't have my headset. I had my speakerphone. And, of course, everyone knows it's illegal to, put the cell phone to your head. You have to have it either on speakerphone or some kind of, Bluetooth or old school, which I went back to because it's healthier for you, the earbuds, with the wire. So she was like, the cop was behind me. There's no way I could have picked up. I'm so sorry. And I'm like, oh, no, it's okay. It's okay. So anyway, that happens sometimes where I see lots of callers and I think maybe they have a question and they just haven't pressed 1 on the keypad. But so if anybody, I'm saying this, if that ever happens, don't worry. I won't take it any way except in the most loving way that you don't respond. Hi, Charles in there. Lisa Nahulia Ali. Nahul Ali. That's beautiful. Beautiful name. Hello, everyone. And hello, listening on the phone line. So if you are a guest, we have quite a few guests that tend to listen. Apparently, you can't interact in the chat room unless you sign up now for Blog Talk Radio. Not my idea of what I would do, but that's the way it's flowing. So I believe it's scrolling still to the bottom of the chat box and signing there up there with your name and email address, and that will get you able to interact in the chat room. Or if you just want to listen, we have a lot of people that listen just on the computer. That's fine, too. And love and light to all listening via iTunes and all that will be listening later in the archives. I always like to say hi to you guys because I get some amazing emails. But we feel your presence anyway. You're here with us. It may not seem like in real time, but on certain dimension you are. Okay, so we are going to get to readings, online readings. I have a couple questions that I'm going to answer. Also, somebody, thank you, Tamara, gave a wonderful feedback on the 2012 and Beyond page on Facebook. Let's see. So some great connecting there. Those people that are doing the course, my Daily Own course, which I highly recommend. I've had amazing feedback from it. It's extremely transformative, if I do say so myself. Really helps in the shift of the ages that we are in. And really, there's a lot of tools, chock full of tools, meditations, at least one, but usually some two and three. It's an eight-week course with the bonus, so it's actually nine. You get nine lessons. Open it up with a lot of information, written information, then a personalized video from me on the topic of the lesson. I think Tamara put something on the 2012 and Beyond Facebook page, Navigate the Shift, about the age of the soul and, let's see, Beyond. About I gotta put this in there. Navigate the Shift on Facebook. Anyway, connect with us there, whether you're doing the course or not. I mean, the course is anywhere from $10 to $100, so it's very affordable. You can your monetary exchange is whatever you can afford. My idea on this is to get rich with connecting and sharing. So it's not really about the money. So everybody can afford $10. Let's see, Mercy, tough to get in the chat today. Woo! Hi, Tamara. I'm just talking about you. Actually, were your ears ringing? Was your crown chakra tingling? Nahuli, let me know how you spell how you say that name. Just signed up for the newsletter, and I love it. Thank you. You're so welcome. In regards to the newsletter, actually going to be going to a quarterly and really focusing on actual tools, meditation tools, techniques, even on a financial level, inner and outer wealth, how to connect in and navigate this shift. You know, the shift that we're in right now, paradigm shift, has not happened. Well, it's never happened in our time frame. But you can liken it perhaps to like the Renaissance period. All of Earth, all of the universe is in this quantum leap or quantum shift. And in essence, it is what we already are, other dimensionally. But it is really that people say that living heaven on earth. It is bringing the consciousness, the expanded awareness. It's bringing a higher vibrational frequency of love, light, and wisdom to be lived out. And then from that, this is why emotional clearing work and all the shows like this you listen to, all the workshops, all your own inner work you do, all the workshops, all the coursework, all that sacred work that every one of you is doing on yourself and helping others to do. Firefox just disappeared. Is helping people, I hope you're hearing me, because the chat just disappeared, is helping people and ourselves to literally create the new template, which is from the design of the soul. And what does that mean? So the design of the soul is coming more from our spiritual center. But living it. Living from that space and that place. Wow, there is some really wacky stuff going on right now. I'm having to log back in. I don't know if you guys are hearing me or not because I'm still on the phone, but this is how you know when there's a lot of shifting going on. It really affects the internet because it's really based on an old template. My browser just started flashing on and off. I'm on Firefox on one of my computers, and I can't get back in. So I'm hoping you guys are hearing me. Let's see. Are you hearing me? Let's see. Yes, we can hear you. Oh, good. Okay. So this is strange. Okay. I just got to tell you guys, I'm going off in this thing. The guides are here. The oversouls are here. My guardian angels on one side, Archangel Michael on the other, and I'm just fully starting to feel the energy shift, and all of a sudden my browser just closes, and it flashes and says, sorry, Firefox unexpectedly quit, and it's just flashing, 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 and I'm trying to log back in. Everything I thought closed down, but you guys, this is so perfect, but we're still here. We were still all connected, even though it looked, aha, and there we go. That's the perfect example. It looks like we're not connected to Source, but we are connected to Source, and we all were still connected. So, I mean, that's perfect. It just fits in. That's what's been going on. And I had an email question of why did this happen? And some people were going back into the asking, you know, for the biblical. I suggest if you really want to dial in, so much of the sacred text have been altered. And I consider the Bible a sacred text, but it's just taken too literally. Is to go back to the Aramaic of the Bible and get the New Age version of the Bible. There, if you can find them, I have some. There are some around. That whole fall from grace, the grace is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our spirit. It's the Shakti. It's the spiritual. It's the tingly that you feel. The spiritual energy that you feel. So we are that. Anyway, so that fall was the fall into matter. This is so important. The thing about Eve, you know, I heard somebody make this whole thing that, oh, the good and evil with the Eve thing. You know, you guys, there's this thing of the victim code. We've got to move beyond that we're stuck here and we were banished here. I mean, all this stuff keeps us unempowered. The whole thing with Eve, Adam and Eve, it's the Adam Kanam. It's the beginning, the middle, and the end, the Alpha Omega. It's the Ouroboros. It's, you know, the snake that eats its tail. It's metaphor from the mystics that we go on and on, but we change form. I mean, it's even known in quantum physics that nothing enters this universe or leaves. It just changes form. We all just change form. And on many layers or dimensions, we are different forms. Now, someone had asked me a question about coming from another planet. Yeah, we do, and we are living on other planets and other dimensions. Think of like a honeycomb. The honeycomb has the big combs, but within the big combs, there's little combs, or a prism, or the facets on a diamond. So we're all these different reflections. When we talk about coming from another planet or being a starseed, you know, I know I'm a starseed, and many of you may have had dreams. We had one, Richard Bolin. If you find it in the archives on Awakenings, there's a wonderful show that goes into this with Dr. Richard Bolin. And there's actually a wonderful test you can do to see, you know, so it doesn't really matter whether you're a starseed, an indigo, a light being, light worker, way shower, or all of it. Talking about another planet is like talking about, you know, I live in Ohio and somebody lives in Illinois and they live in Chicago, or I live in Molokai in Hawaii. So what? We're still all on the same planet together. It's like one neighborhood, but we're not that neighborhood. You know, you're not your culture, you're not your race. I mean, those are different modes and ways of expression. But you're beyond that, and that's really what the shift of the ages is about. That's a big part of it, is recognizing our individuated aspects of the all that is that we're radiating and that we're sharing, but also our interconnectedness and our oneness. So that's why they call it the unity consciousness or the shift. We're on what we call the path of return. So there's nothing wrong with being on Earth, on this dimension. It's the fall into matter, so that the fall was to see what mattered to us on a soul level, to let our soul expression, our soul design, express in physical form and create from there or co-create. So we, to have form, you have to have a physical body or a denser body that has an ego template, and you take on certain likes and dislikes. Now, what's interesting, this is all vibrational. It starts vibrational before it gets in. Okay, sometimes I feel like this information doesn't want to get out, but I'm going to keep speaking and I'm going to write about it. Because oh, Michelle, hi, Sylvia, I'm back. No, I got booted off of Blog Talk, and I've emailed them about that because that keeps happening. Because the more empowered we can get and understand this, the biting of the apple is wisdom. That's where our free will choice came in. Because as collective beings, I've worked with Ashtar, Ashtar Command, the spiritual hierarchy. On some level, as we ascend, we become less individuated. We have less individual form, and we become more psychic, and we become more telepathic. So even if you extend or expand into more expanded or higher vibrational frequency, it's not good or bad. You know, in fact, I've worked with Mayan elders. The Mayan elders, the Mayan frequency is a denser frequency. But they have their galactic roots as well. So, density and frequency isn't good or bad. It's just different. Because that's like saying a mountain or a rock, which is a very dense frequency, is bad, but the star is good. No, they're both perfect. They're both not good or bad. They're perfect. They're just different emanations of source. So that fall or that biting of the apple is understanding, it's wisdom and it's understanding, and it's taking the path to devolve or go into matter to know how to manifest in matter, how to express an experience in matter. And that's where our free will choice came in. But free will choice is only choice within your individual frequency and individual expression, this dimension and this lifetime. Because on some level, we are everything, we are all that, right? So it's only on this dimension that this is getting played out, so to speak. So it's nothing wrong. And the nakedness that they talk about in the Bible, that is just seeing beyond the veils. What is it like when we see each other naked? When you really have a great conversation with somebody, you really get it, or somebody really reveals themselves, expresses themselves. Then you see them nakedly. It's like, I feel naked. I revealed this. I shared this part of me. No one else has known. So just because of some misuse of power, and we won't get too much into it on this talk today. We'll dive into it later. But because of some misuse of power, a lot of meaning has been misinterpreted, miscommunicated, altered, or changed to have power over. So one of the things you want to do right now in the shift is you want to ask yourself, where do you think or feel you are powerless? Who or what do you feel has power over you? And where do you feel underpowered or in a sense devalued? And wherever you're feeling underpowered or overpowered by something or someone else, that's a call for you to step more into your empowerment and to see what is really right for you or what you really need and want to do. And I would suggest going into meditation and connecting in with the higher self to see what that is. And if you feel that you're overpowering someone or a situation, or where you have to take power, take control, then you need to ask yourself, again, where are you not being authentically empowered in your own life? What are you needing to do that you're not doing in your life? So there's, let's see, Michelle, are there other sacred books that you value? Oh, there's so many. I really also like the Kabbalion. If you're working on a transition and change, I love Awakening the Archetypes Within, or Waking the Heroes Within, rather. It's on archetypal energy. Everything, we're such an overlay. Even the tarot, and some people have studied the tarot with me and using it as, because the tarot holds the mythic archetype visually and energetically, at least certain tarot decks do, of how we're manifesting within the individually within the collective. So there's some great one book, by the way, because I wanted to touch on too another question from a reader or listener actually, and someone following me on Twitter, Pixie Jewel, was asking about doves, seeing mourning doves. So I want to again answer a couple questions, and then we'll get to the callers. I'm going to touch a little bit on animal medicine. Right now, the animal beings can really, really assist. They're here to, well, they're an extension of us. We're an extension of them. It's another aspect of us. But specifically, animal, doggy animal beings, as they come from Sirius, the star Sirius, which Sirius has to do with communication. It's a satellite star, if you will. Doggy beings helping us more with telepathy. I just saw something a few weeks ago on some kind of, I don't know, cable station. It did a whole documentary on people and their pets and dogs. And I believe, and I might have the number wrong, 5 million people, I don't know if that was in the, and 3 million pets. So look at your animal beings, how they respond, animal beings really follow the subtle energy. Most of the time, unless they're, again, they're like us, unless they're trained, untrained to be their true nature, unless they're, you know, misaligned through training, they won't seek a fight, they'll sniff, and if it's not a resonance, they move on. If it's a resonance, they sniff, they play with each other, and they hang out. We need to get more like that. We need to follow the language of the soul. We need to align more to our spiritual essence and let the higher self lead and not the ego, not focusing so much on what we think. So a wonderful book on animal medicine is Animal Speak by Ted Andrews. And Pixie Jewel is asking that she was seeing a dove, and what does that mean, a mourning dove? Well, doves can be two things. They can be connecting to the higher self, can be bringing peace. It can also represent a relationship because doves mate for life. So they're very much about coupling, but that coupling can be within yourself. It can be the little self aligning to the higher self and having a wonderful, loving relationship and partnership. Sometimes it means a letting go as a mourning, a letting go of something so something new can come in. And a lot of times it also is a call to spend some time on your own or in reflection. And you can actually use the mourning dove, the sound that it makes, the wonderful communication, as a meditation. I've done this before, and it really does bring you deeper inward. It really does center you. All right, I touched on a little bit from the fall to earth. We'll talk more about that. But basically, the fall is the fall into matter. And this is, we're in the matter, we're in the prima materia, the primal matter, and we create or co-create from that. So everything that you do is helping to lay down the new tracks or the new template of relating so that we're moving more and more into right relationship and right livelihood. Okay, so I'm just about to get to the callers. Are you still there? And the, okay, so let's, you're going to have to wait till, okay. So, all right, I believe it's 786-301. Hello, you're on Awakenings.
Hello.
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 Hey,
who
am I speaking with?
My name is Lupe.
Hi, Lupe, how are you?
Good, thank you. My question today to you is that I need to know where my career is heading. And do you see it changing anytime soon?
Okay. Now, I definitely see it changing, but I feel like there's going to be some kind of coursework for you. Does that make sense in the change?
Not really. The only coursework I would be doing is like meditation and Reiki, and I'm new to it, so I'm kind of very interested.
Oh, so there it is. There it is, because it's showing further. It's showing some kind of training, Lupe.
Okay.
So I would, if that's what, go ahead.
I'm an insurance agent right now, and things are going okay, but all of a sudden they slowed down these couple of last weeks. So I was wondering why did it slow down, and if it's because of a change or...
Well, I do see you doing more of the Reiki and getting into that, but I also am getting from your guides coming in, you're going to do something different than the insurance, or it may be something that's tied to insurance, because I still feel it's somehow clerical, administrative, but you're going to be able to make more money and work a little less. I don't know if it's longer hours or a double shift where you have... where you're only working 3 or 4 days a week, but there is going to be a change to how you're working.
Okay.
Somebody is going to talk to you, and I definitely feel it's a female talking to you and say, oh, yeah, I'm doing this or thinking of doing this or I'm starting this, and they need more people. The reason why is you're having this little bit of a change here is because I do feel you going more into your own spiritual path and a lot more workshops and a lot more training. In fact, I'll just say this, my 2012 class of De Leon would be great for you, actually, would really support where you're at right now, my online course through De Leon.
What's the name of that?
It's called 2012 Navigate the Shift.
Okay.
The thing is, you're working a lot of hours, right? I feel like you're working
a
lot.
All of a sudden I got this project where I was getting a lot of leads and I was doing a lot of business, but all of a sudden, this last 2 weeks it stopped. I haven't been getting any leads, and it was like that maybe 4 months ago, and then all of a sudden I got this whirlwind of leads and, production.
This is great for everyone to know, because sometimes there's cycles like that, but also sometimes it is it's a little message from the higher self to say upcoming changes are happening. And I feel that's with you, Lupe, that there are changes to your work, because I do see it picking up again. But you're meant to do something else. There's something else. There's one more job in between. And then I do see you even moving into doing some healing work, Reiki. You're going to wonder what else... to do. There's a lot around you also with health or holistic health, vitamins, minerals. Pardon me?
Say that again?
There's also a lot around you with health, holistic health.
Right. Well, I have a friend and I who are trying to work on something like that. He's very holistic, and I'm starting. I'm a baby to this. But it's something that I would like to do in the future. I do feel like I'm a healer.
Yeah, you are. But see, this is why. So there's something else in between administrative. I do feel the insurance picking up again, but there's something else that you're going to do, because I do feel you going into that direction with the health, nutrition, vitamins. You might end up studying something down the road, like homeopathy or naturopathy, or like becoming a naturopath, or there's something that you're going to do. I don't know if it's selling vitamins. See, you're really good with sales and connecting with people. I feel that the next step for you is doing it more in the health field or holistic health field.
Yeah, I am very good at sales. I can sell just about anything. And I'm good with people, too, And
I know. And you like to help people. That's why I feel that there's a step in there where you're doing this more in the holistic health, vitamins. And I do see you actually doing some kind of, I know you said Reiki, yeah, you're going to continue with all your training. However, there is something else that's in regards to supplements or something on that holistic level that you're going to get training in, and I see you working more in that capacity. And you're going to do two things. There's something kind of administrative, and then there's something where you're talking. It might even be selling these supplements to, chiropractors or alternative doctors, where you say, oh, these are great supplements, these are really good, and I see you coming in and doing little talks, presentations. That's the direction that you're going in. Your work spiking up and down is a little bit of a heads up that this is what's going to be occurring.
Okay.
Okay.
Anything in the romance world?
So-so, June, July. There seems to be someone around, but...
Nothing serious.
No, I feel like that's going to be more after the summer because your work and working with this friend of yours is going to take more
time.
Key precedence. More time for you. You're going to really be focusing more on that. But I actually see when you make the shift, your income level is going to come up. You're going to have some big pops, some
Yay.
Big commissions. Yeah,
Yay.
Where you're able to take time off and study
that's
or travel
it.
Or do something else. And I do feel through this you will meet your, I want to say, life partner.
Last partner?
That will be the next, your life partner. So yes, that will be the next, that will be the next
I need somebody, I need it to be the last partner. I don't want to keep going different partners. So that's good.
Yeah.
I thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Blessings.
Hey, blessings to you too.
Okay, so just so people know, and Lupe, if you're listening, okay, so it's the course is 2012, Navigate the Shift, but it's really, I want to say 2012 and beyond, but on DailyOM.com it says 2012, Navigate the Shift. And then we have a wonderful 2012 and beyond, Navigate the Shift page on Facebook, which I got to tell you guys, I'm so enjoying all the connecting and dialoguing. It's really great to be doing that with all of you. Okay, so 248752, you're on Awakenings. Welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm doing good. I wanted to ask you a relationship question. I had a connection and a relationship with a gentleman. Got into a bit of a spat. We haven't spoken or communicated in about, I would say we're going on to about a good 2 full months. But he's still really, really heavily draining my energy from me. It's almost like I still feel we're connected in some way. I just wanted to know, what do you see with that? Do you see a reconnection or... is he permanently gone?
Yeah,
or
give me your first name, please.
Natasha.
Okay. Yeah, I can feel the, and number one, I feel he is kind of cut off or in a huffy mode. So
mm-hmm.
You're also feeling that stuff is left in the air. I feel perhaps a time of Gemini, so like is June 11th, maybe Leo at the latest, which is the beginning of July, that you will either bump into each other or talk again. It feels kind of brief, but I do feel you're going to see him as more, we need to be self-centered, centered in self,
mm-hmm.
and selfish, but sometimes people go overboard. I feel you're going to see him very differently.
Okay.
He's representing an old template for you. An old type of relationship, and so that's why it's also a little bit difficult to release. Also, he is thinking about you and, grumbly, angry. I don't feel it's not like a scream, yell, angry, but it's like a disgruntlement, annoyance, irritation, resentment. So it's a little, one of my teachers called it a slow burn. He's like burning over there. So that's why you are... still feeling, overly connected to him.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't feel this is someone that you're meant to re-engage, obviously, spiritually you're connected. So
mm-hmm.
really what's keeping you together, though, is what I call it's the astral plane. It's the sticky glue of the emotional body, the astral body.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
it is to learn to release. You've got to start being in relationship that is more equal and more buoyant, uplifting for you.
Mm-hmm.
So the call for you is to do that for yourself. I would say chanting, meditating, connect with other like-minded individuals. Find ways that you can fill that space that you're feeling, that void. Because it's really a void, but he filled a lot of that space even through your arguing, right? The space was filled. Right?
Yes. Yeah.
And you're worried about him and what's he doing or not doing. So you need to fill that back up with you.
Okay. I didn't understand what this was that I was feeling because I've never experienced it ever before in my life with anybody else, you know. Mm-hmm. And even though we were disconnected, I just felt his energy just still continuing to drain me on certain days. Certain days were more powerful than others. You know, mm-hmm. and I thought I was doing good, and then something would happen, and I'm like, okay, why am I feeling like this again? You know, but I do still care for him. I do still love him, you know, very much.
You know,
and
so what you want to do is connect. You know, I have, I think it's on Conscious Inspired Living. There is a .com. There's some free meditations there. I think the focus meditation is there. Or on selfandlight.com in the meditation, there's a free meditation you can download, the three-count breath. What you need to do is connect in, get in a meditative state mm-hmm. where you're accessing more of your higher self or all of your higher self, and connect into his higher self and feel that soul connection. That this one thing, no matter how bad a relationship is, the love is always there. The love is there.
Yeah.
So the and
right.
the love is real. Sometimes
right.
we're not a match on a physical level or an emotional level, right? Or we're moving on, or we've grown in different directions or grown apart. So honoring the spiritual connection, the soul connection, honoring that and feeling that. And even in that state, a lovely prayer, affirmative prayer of what is there, what you know to be true on in that divine level of love. And that in the other level, it's a time to move on. So I feel
right.
for you, really, you guys really connected on an emotional level, but I feel that, and there may feel even past life connection there, other dimensional connection. However, that drain that you feel now was always there. So you were carrying him and carrying the relationship, which you do tend to do. I call it the nursey energy. And a lot of healers have this energy. But because you've shifted, Natasha, you're seeing it now. Even though the physical presence isn't there, the emotional astral presence is there, you're feeling the drain, but the drain was always there. The thing is, you've shifted, so now you're more aware of the drain.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah. So another thing you can do is get into the meditative state and feel what we call the Aka cords. Feel where you feel the drain in your body, where you feel that over connection. Because we're not talking about the spiritual connection because we're all one. We're all connected anyway. We're just talking about connecting in a different way, which is on the emotional or astral level. You can
mm-hmm.
take those cords and see and feel them planted. You can even pull them out of the body where you feel plugged in. And simply, in the etheric plane, plant them into the earth. See them planted. Because you've been his source. And now he's disgruntled because he can't plug in anymore, and you're feeling the plug in. And you want something. In other words, if you are going to let someone plug in, you want something back. Problem is, everyone, when we let people plug into us this way, you never get enough back.
Right.
They've got to plug into source, or you could envision him plugged into source, his own higher self, or his own, or the source of all that is God. So, plugging in works for a while. We let people plug into us, and we give and give and give and give, because we want something back.
Mm-hmm.
Problem is, you're never going to get enough back, because they're plugging into your emotional, mental body, not your spiritual body. And that part of us, unless we're meditating, unless we're opening to source consistently, that part of us has a limited supply. This is why when you meditate or you do Reiki or any kind of energy work, even if you're tired, you feel, oh my God, I feel so much energy now. I was so tired.
Mm-hmm.
It's just because the lower frequency part of us, aspect of us, the ego personality, is a finite amount of energy. That's the part that dies. But the soul part, the spiritual part, the part that is source, is infinite. So the more that you tap into infinite source, the more energy you have, the more upliftment, the more inspiration, the more aspiration. So when people want to plug into you, the best thing is to do is to say, you know, even if it always feels good in the beginning and then the end, it's draining. You need to say, hey, here's some things on how to plug into your own source. You are infinite source. Here's a meditation. After you've done that for a while and you know how to, then we'll connect, you know. But don't, yeah, the plugging, I know it feels good in the beginning. It's, oh, love, and it feels, but then it becomes crippling, and then we get resentful because we can never get enough, we can never get enough back unless somebody's
right.
connected to the source.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
All right,
thank
Natasha.
You.
Very well.
You have a good day. Bye-bye.
You too. Okay, hello, 267-285, you're on Awakenings.
Hello?
Hi. Did you have a question
Hi.
Or comment?
Hi, Michelle. This is Pixie Jewel.
Hey, did you hear my... Hi, Pixie Jewel.
I'm
did you hear
also...
my I am... Did you hear
yeah.
my... Oh, good, cool.
Yeah, I did. And I'm also, by the way, I'm also White Calla Lily in the chat room.
Oh, you are? Oh, great.
Yeah.
Great. I love it.
Yeah, so I did hear your response. But it's funny because when I got the response from you on Twitter saying that you were going to answer the question over the radio, I thought, wait, I already had a question for you anyway. So,
oh, perfect.
That
okay.
My question for you is, I had, hopefully you can help me, I needed some guidance regarding my daughter. I have a 6.5-year-old, and I'm noticing that she is having some issues in school, and I wanted to know if you can give me some insight into what's going on and maybe how I can handle it. So,
now, give me her first name. Right away I feel something with attention.
Her name is Sydney.
Her, is it with attention?
Attention. She does love attention, but it's more so it's her behavior.
Yeah, I know. She's having issues with the attention, I feel.
Okay.
She's not paying attention.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Acting. Yeah. She's, give me the first name.
Sydney. S-Y-D-N-E-Y, like Australia.
That's who I see. Okay. Well, number one, the acting out or the behavioral, I feel she does love attention. But
yeah.
And not paying attention and acting out is she's not, she's not challenged enough, and she's not exactly one that's going to fit in a little square peg here.
You told me that before, but you, like, I had a reading from you at the, I had a reading from you at the beginning of the year, and you said the same thing, but you weren't able to go into it because you had to go into it, you had to go to another caller, but you said the same thing before. So I was like, I wonder what she meant by that. Okay, all right.
Well, yeah, okay, that's her then. She's coming through right away. Well, she's more gifted. I don't know, you know, it's she doesn't perhaps have the cognitive ability or the words to say certain things are BS. But
okay.
She, number one, I feel there's a couple of people in the little kids in the, she's a little disgruntled with, or I don't know, there's some little issues with some of the people that she plays with or in the class. She is feeling a little bit of a scapegoat, though, because I feel sometimes other kids are doing certain things. And somehow,
and they blame her.
And they blame her, yeah. So there is a bit of that. And she catches that. That's the BS thing. She's not, you know, so wild about the teacher either because she doesn't feel the teacher is an alliance to her.
Oh, you're so good. You're so good.
It's okay.
So,
and it's true. Because she is, I call it the very big presence. She has a very big presence. And when you know, when you're in that small of a body, but you know that you know, and you have the eyes that you know, and the teacher knows that you know,
mm-hmm.
It's problematic. So she's not kind of, she's not, you know, falling in line.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I figured that. I'm sorry,
okay.
Go ahead.
No, well, I think you're just going to have to talk to her about what she knows and how certain things aren't fair, you know, that it can change. It's talking a little bit about her environment. You may not keep her in that school is what I'm seeing.
I don't. I really
don't want to. And I
don't
know if there's different kind of school or private school where she can do more on her own, but I do feel she, eventually she'll learn how to handle this, but right now, you know, she doesn't know.
Hello?
Okay. So
hello.
I told you, yeah, the phone now. You know, the browser went out. Now the BTR disconnected me again. So you're gonna
can you hear
have
me?
To. Yes. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes.
I can
hear you.
Yes. And
yes.
I think we're gonna have our guest coming on in a minute. So.
Okay.
Let's see. Next time, try to call a little earlier. But,
okay. Okay.
Yeah, because I want to get more into this with you with her. I feel that there's. Talking to her and trying to get her to see that environment may help, but she is in the mindset of it's not fair. And so since it's not fair, in her little mind, it's why should I be fair or play fair?
Because I know you have to go, but I noticed that, and people say this too, and it kind of makes it look like I'm crazy, but she only does it with certain people. Like, she picks and chooses who she does it with. And I said, I think it's either the teacher is not strong enough to deal with her, or she knows what there's things going on. But
well,
I'm thinking...
I don't know if I'd say strong enough. It's like I said, it's her. She's got a good BS monitor.
Okay.
And sometimes when, you know, at that age, there's not yet the filtering or the discrimination, the spiritual discernment to know when to do something and when not. So the teachers are thinking of it as challenging.
Yeah, because they see
but
her as
is,
a bad child.
Yeah, so this is the type of person, she's a child, but she's a person, she's a spiritual being that you have to sit with and say, you're right. I know you have to be honest and say this is the game. This is the way that it is, see? And she's going to require from someone if they make a mistake. In other words, and I see two little kids, so it's the three of them. If they're messing around and she gets in trouble and she says, "Well, they did it too." It's
right.
She's not going to sit there for someone saying, "Well, you need to behave. You're always." That's not going to do it. She's going to then say, you're not playing fair." She's going to require the teacher say, "I'm really sorry. I didn't see them do it. I thought it was just you." And she needs the teacher to turn to the other two and say, "That this is not fair. You don't do. None of you do this. You know." But what's happening is she's getting called out, and the more that happens, the more she's going to revolt.
Okay. All right,
and I don't feel this teacher is able to suck up the apology.
No, he's not. Okay. So you think that if I do talk to her, that she'll... Because I've tried to talk to her many times, and it does get a little frustrating because I have people coming to me all the time saying, "Oh, Sydney did this," or "She wasn't doing that." And I'm like, well, I know how she is, and I know who she is, and she's not, quote-unquote, a bad child, you know, and they try to make her out to be that way. So I'm like, at this point, I don't know how to handle it.
She's got to get, you've got to call earlier because I really got to go with the guest, but it's going to take her a little while to get it because right now with her emotional development, in a way she just wants to get back or act out because it's not fair. In other words, it's like you thought I took the candy in the candy jar and I didn't and I told you I didn't and Johnny took it, so now I'm going to take the whole thing because you said I did it. You know, or now I'm not going to listen to you. So I feel her learning how to adjust, it's probably going to take another 2 years, but her learning eight and a half, nine, how to be with certain people, really what you need to do is affirm her rightness, that she is seeing things right.
Okay.
But there is a certain way she has to be or behave in that environment. But she is right. You're right. You're right. You're right. It's not fair. Right. And the world is this and that. You know what I mean? Pick your battles.
Yes.
Come home and talk to me. Draw a picture about it. This you need to give her tools as to how to handle it, but she needs the affirming that she is right, not that she's wrong. She's getting too much of the you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. But no, she's right. She's right.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Michelle. If you would not mind putting me on mute, I just want to continue to listen. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
You're welcome. Ooh, and I think our guests will have a bit of this since our last conversation we touched on. What is it like to grow up as a light bearer, light being, aware being, a more conscious being? What is it like growing up like this? I almost with Pixie Jewel with her daughter, her light being Sydney, you know, I had similar experiences. So we're not going to be the ones on the conveyor belt eating the pea soup. We're going to say, nope, I don't want pea soup. I want curry soup. So a whole different way of handling. We have with us today, and she's been on the program before, Dr. Myesha Hazard, who has a background in behavioral science, metaphysics. Her other studies have included information science, neuroscience, comparative religion, international studies, telecommunications, education, as well as performing arts, but a very, very well aware being. She also has the Center for Inner Peace, as well as other programs that she offers to assist those on the path and engaged in the shift. Welcome, Myesha, to the program.
Hello.
Hello.
It's always good to be with you.
You as well. You as well.
And you can hear me this time.
I know. Well, you know, I said at the top of the show today, I said, the frequencies are flying. I said, I know, because part of it, Myesha's coming on.
Yes, when you disappeared a moment ago,
I
thought about that. I said, uh-oh.
Here we go. And then at the beginning of the program, my browser just started flashing and then crashed, and then the dialogue box said, sorry, Firefox unexpectedly crashed. Restore session. Yeah, so a lot of flashing. But I had, you know, a thought, you know, as our last caller, because I know we touched on this before. You, of course, grew up very connected. I like to, you know, some people say very aware, very sensitive. It is all that, but it is connected in retaining that inner connection, if you will. Myesha, what is your thought and also perhaps some suggestions either for parents of children like this as well as what it's like growing up retaining a connection?
I would say I was very fortunate. I had a family that embraced it. I have an older sister who put up with me in wondrous ways. I could wake her up at 3 o'clock in the morning and make her sit up with me to listen to all the things that had come to me or that I had experienced in out-of-body experiences earlier in the night, and she would literally sit with me. So I was blessed in that way. And at the same time, in talking about it, I guess it's having a compassionate heart and really understanding that with children who feel the connection, who are consciously aware of the connection that is present for all of us, it's a matter of helping them to recognize that it's not always fair, that some people are in pain in their own inner being, and so they act out in particular ways, and that they can stop and heart-to-heart take a few deep breaths and send love and light and know that that can contribute to shifting things. Sometimes in playing with children, you know, I will say to them, just stop for a moment and just take a few deep breaths and think of something really funny and let your heart send the light out to the person so that you don't get caught in what's going on with them. Instead, they catch your light. They catch your joy.
Mm.
And so that's one of the things. And
I like that.
It's being in the love.
Mm-hmm. You know, the other thing, and I'm putting in the chat, but I love what you said also about the light, because I think, too, when you have things like that you can do, little exercises or techniques, like even just visualizing, if okay, if they're saying something to you, just see them in light, or that you're beaming light to them, or a little kid can do that. Pretend that you're in a circle of light, or you feel the light around you, right? And just have them do these little, you know, exercises or whatever. I mean, for me, I had my guides and my guardian angels, so I would go into talking to them. So I would tune everybody out and just say, "Do you see what they're doing?" But I think to give them, I think this is a great idea what you're suggesting, to give those little tools or techniques to the children so that they don't feel, you know, disempowered or unempowered.
Yes, I have a friend who is a phenomenal clairvoyant and has been since early childhood. And one of the things that she does is she, if things are really negative or squirrely, as I like to call them, she would take a blanket of light and just kind of throw it over the person who's acting out, who's not being nice in the moment. And that kind of puts the fire of their negativity out, and that was it would take it out of her experience. She wouldn't have to experience anymore. I prefer to play in the joy and let them catch my joy or catch my light, rather than to smother their fire, so to speak.
Right, right, right. So let's, and I want to let people know, too, you have the Center for Inner Peace, right? Let's see how people can get in touch with you.
Right now, we are reopening our Center for Inner Peace, and our opening is this Friday evening at a place called Life Well Spa. In Culver City. It's 5835 West Washington Boulevard. And we have an organization that has been up and running for a while now that's called Kepra Institute of Applied Metaphysics. And out of Kepra, we do a lot of things that for some people in the general public may sound a little strange and far-fetched. We deal with universal spiritual principles and many different ideas that come from, like, ancient Egypt and India and so on and so forth, Tibet, and various parts of Africa other than Egypt, and South America and so on. And everyone isn't open and receptive to it. And so we're reopening the Center for Inner Peace, and our location is in many different places. We meet in different places. The spa, Lifewell Spa, is one of them. And through the Center for Inner Peace, we approach some of the same ideas, but in a more universal way that doesn't frighten people who are in traditional religions. We come from a more scientific standpoint, dealing with biofeedback and dealing with different kinds of ancient technologies of using the breath to center us, speaking through the heart, but that our language is not religious or spiritual in conspicuous ways through the center. So that's what we're doing, and we want to be able to reach out to a lot more people and have greater conversations. So we deal with imagination and intuition and intelligence, and we have ways that we work with children and adults to tap into infinite intelligence so that you can learn more quickly. If you have something that you've been trying to learn and it has seemed difficult to you, then we have some things that we share with people that will help people to calm down and center themselves and be open and receptive to that part of the mind that already does know every subject.
Mm-hmm.
So we deal with that, and we have fun with imagination and how to deal with the body's intuition, how to recognize that our body is this magnificent instrument that picks up on a lot more than we pay attention to. And so how do we begin to pay more attention to the messages that we're always getting? Like if you walk into a room and it almost feels like the hairs on the back of your neck stand up, that it's your body recognizing that something's going on in the environment that you need to pay attention to. And when we catch the body's messages, then we can move through the world, through the universe, in ways that make us more prepared to deal with tricky situations, things that get a little strange, and to recognize when things are going on in the environment that for our safety we need to pay attention to, or when to be able to really feel what our body's feeling and recognize, oh, wow, there's somebody in this room that I really want to meet. You feel that spark of joy or your body has picked up on the light from someone and it's like, wait a minute, somebody in here is really creative and is, or someone knows something that I've been asking questions about, and you can let your body's intuition, in a sense, lead you to it. So that's those kinds of things that I think people are more open to than they are some of the more esoteric kinds of things that we have been having conversations about through Kepra.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. It feels like right now a lot of the languaging needs to shift, because anyway, people would be on the languaging, you get the information vibrationally. So I find sometimes it doesn't matter so much what you're saying. It's you're getting, you know, that consciousness is an inside job, so you're getting that transmission. Because I agree with you, sometimes language can block, you know, if people aren't comfortable with certain words or certain right belief systems, it can be they can tune out, right, or not be as receptive perhaps.
Right, or they may not come at all. You know, when people see Kepra, which is Khepra, and it's a name from ancient Egyptian mythology, and you know, people see it and they're like, "What is this?" And it puts some people off. They think it's a lot of hocus pocus or something really bizarre, if they're not familiar. Mm-hmm. And for others, it's intriguing. But what we found through the Center for Inner Peace years ago, we had a program through our Center for Inner Peace called Technology for Inner Peace, and we would go into places and we'd set up 12 to 24 computers and some biofeedback equipment and a number of different programs that we had at the time, and people could through the on-ramp of technology and science discover things about themselves, and it transcends all of the belief systems from a religious or spiritual standpoint. They're getting information from their bodies, and they're like, "Ooh, wow, you mean I'm making that ball move? I'm actually causing that?" Yes, your body, your heart rate variability wave, your pulse, your galvanic skin response, you know, which galvanic skin response they used to use in old lie detector tests. So we were able to get through to have conversations with a lot of people more through that than through the spiritual, seemingly spiritual and religious way.
Yeah, yeah, that seems to be a hot little button right now. And but it's good to be able to communicate to, I think, a wider, you know, group, so to speak. Let's dive in, though, a little bit, Maisha, because we've been talking about it off air. What is happening right now in the shift, and how to adjust and align to the energies of the new emerging consciousness, to this new energy that we have? Can you speak a bit on that?
Sure. We've been having conversations about 2012 and the energy around the shift, as our solar system is right there at the equator of our galaxy, and right with kind of an unobstructed energetic flow between the great central sun, the center of our galaxy, our Milky Way galaxy, and that this happens cyclically. You know, it comes around every 5,625 years or so, and according to the Mayan calendar, and 6,125, I believe, through the Hindu Yuga cycles. And it's really just understanding that there are cycles in this universe, and that we're right at this point where there's a surge in electromagnetic energy that then everything is energy. And this surge actually, as I'm perceiving it, somehow accelerates. If we're thinking negatively about something, it like gets an extra burst. If we're thinking positively and feeling positively, it gives an extra burst of that energy. So things seem to be manifesting faster in some ways than they used to. So if you're focused on something very positive, and you can hold the feeling tone and the idea in place in your inner being in a way, it gets to manifest faster than maybe 10 years ago, 5 years ago. And especially the negative kinds of thoughts about yourself or about someone else seems to get magnified more
mm-hmm.
quickly, and you get the bite in the butt for having the negative thoughts faster than perhaps we used to. And I think it's a call for humanity to become more aware of this magnificent
mm-hmm.
creative ability that we have. We are made in the consciousness and image or likeness of the source creator, whatever name we give it. And
mm-hmm.
that means we are creator beings. And we create through our inner vision, idea, and feeling. And I don't think everyone is consciously aware of the fact that through our thoughts and our feelings and our inner visions, we are creating our personal experiences, and we are joining in the creative, the creation of the collective experience. So
mm-hmm.
I'm seeing that we're in a time where we're being called to pay attention in a particular way, to become more conscious.
Mm-hmm.
Consciously aware of this power of creation that we have always had but haven't always been mindful of, and that we take responsibility for it in a particular way. And we begin to recognize the power of it and the ways in which we can use it to have marvelous and wondrous things happen in this world, in our personal experiences
mm-hmm.
and in our collective experiences.
You know, I so agree. You know, we touched on this at the top of the program before you came on, so this is always synchronistic confirmation.
Mm-hmm.
But, and if you could speak a little on this as well, Maisha, we have to move out of this idea that all this stuff is happening to us and we're like stuck or right or we're we're this experiment, and you know, they put the chip in and now we're automated and we have to free ourselves. I mean, it's all this right, all this stories, which I guess you can live out different stories and it can be very true, but that freeing up, I love what you said about making it more conscious that we are co-creating. That all this stuff isn't happening to us. We're not at effect of this.
Right. We're contributors. I'm thinking
contributors.
This morning at 6:30 on Wednesday mornings, we have what we call a power prayer. And it's about 10 or 15 minutes. And it's my definition of prayer is that prayer is an act of remembrance. It's an act of remembering the truth about who we are, remembering the glory and the wonder and the perfection of this universe that we live in, and the fact that there, what I believe to be the truth, that there is in infinite mind a perfect idea for my physical body, for everybody's physical body, and that if there's the appearance of something gone wrong, it's because the idea of the perfect body that's being broadcast in the one mind is, we're not picking it up. We're so distracted by negative messages that we're off station. It's like you have a radio, and you aren't tuned to the station, and so you're getting a lot of, a lot of static. And it's so I see prayer as getting back on the station, and getting a clear and clean broadcast from the inner self, from the higher self, from the cosmic creator, whatever you call it. And so what in the call this morning, there was a person who was on the call from Stone Mountain, Georgia. And when she came on before the hour, I was asking her what was going on in Georgia. And she said, well, we're under a tornado watch. And so I just started saying, okay, peace be still. Peace be still. Peace be still and know the I am. I'm speaking to the tornado. And I'm saying, we have the ability, because the weather patterns, things that are going on in the Earth's atmosphere, often are responses to the emotional things that are going on on the planet amongst human beings. and they stir up into storms. They stir up into hurricanes and tornadoes and other things that take place in the atmosphere and in the earth. And so when the call was over, I guess about a half hour later, I got an email. She said, I need to give you this report. We're no longer under tornado watch. It's gone. And I said, oh, of course. You know, yes. And you know, I'm thinking back to when Katrina was taking place. You know, I confess that I was like a lot of other people in the world who were, you know, watching CNN and MSNBC and all of the other news reporting agencies, the network televisions, and I found myself watching the Doppler radar image of the storm as it was gathering energy and being mesmerized and hypnotized by it. And when it was over, I called myself back to consciousness and said, oh, my God, what was I doing? Mm-hmm. I know better than that. And so the next storm that was coming up very shortly after that was Rita, that was expected to hit Houston and Galveston, that southern part of Texas. And I had a number of friends, you know, people that I've been in contact with through the years, through this listserv. And, you know, I sent out a message to everybody, and I said, hold up. You know, we all know better than to do what we just did with Katrina. The storm seems to be building, but we don't have to get into that scenario. Instead, every time, if we happen to be watching television and the image comes up, let's just say freeze. And we're speaking directly to what appears to be a hurricane, and just say freeze. And I said it's a perfect thing to say freeze to this thing called Rita, because we know that it's the heat from the water that stirs up the hurricane. And so by saying freeze, we're saying cool down. And also, we are saying freeze as in stop. And what got to be funny was every time I was watching television and I would see the image of the hurricane, I would say freeze, the Doppler radar image would freeze, because that's the way it does. It's the way it's presented. It's on a pulse. So you see it move and then it stops. You see it move and then it stops. That's the cycle that the image comes in on. And it didn't hit landfall. You know, when landfall came, it was nothing of what they really expected. It was much calmer, and they had evacuated tens of thousands of people, and there was no real damage. It was so much milder than they had expected. And the group of us kind of said, well, of course, because we remembered the ability that we had. And so I come back now then to a more recent thing in Japan, and following the 9.0 earthquake. And never before in the history of humanity as we know it has there been the possibility of getting so much information out of a place in the midst of a crisis. You know, people's telephones and the video. Folks were taking pictures and sending the pictures to news agencies and to family as it was happening. And I watched people getting so caught up in the devastation, so caught up in the fear around the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear plant. And I said, wait a minute, we've got to stop this. Let's know that we can cool down the air, we can cool down the nuclear reactors, the rods. So what we did was one of the women who was on the call that we had that week about it, when I was talking about it, here, let's do this. Let's hold the image of the Fukushima Daiichi reactors and simply say, be cool. Be cool. Be cool.
Be cool.
Be cool. Be cool. And know that by our thoughts and holding the idea and embracing that awareness, that we can say to the molecules of water and the molecules of air that there's a perfect idea for all molecules of air, for all molecules of water. There's a perfect idea in the infinite mind, in the creator mind. And let's focus on that and attune our awareness to the station right on frequency of that perfection. and the lack of
time. And I think my issue, one of the things is somehow there's a misguided notion that, again, when earth changes happen, it's happening to us instead of it being an aspect of us. So,
yes.
Right? If we're unsettled, you know, the earthquakes, the tsunamis, it's our unsettlement. It's the unsettlement of the universe. But then it's, like I'm hearing you saying, it's also magnified by more unsettling. So the more settled we are, the more, you know, equal or the more equanimous energy, that's everywhere. It's that as above is so below, within, without. And to move out of that extreme, again, if it's happening to us, then it's the shadow responding.
Right.
What can people do to bring perhaps more of that settlement?
Well, let me talk about that a minute, because as we talked about the nuclear reactors and we talked about seeing the water cooling, seeing the a friend called and said, what if we take a crystal and put it in a vase with cold water and ice, and put, like, going to Dr. Emoto's idea of what happens to the molecules of water when you have a positive message on it, on the bottle of water, and on the container of water. And so let's write on the vase that's holding the crystal that we're saying represents the rods in the reactor. If we write that you're cool, you're cool,
right,
and stable, and you know what, just the positive messages, knowing that with Dr. Emoto, his experiments have shown that water that has the word love written over it has a different crystal formation when it's frozen and then looked at under a microscope than water that has a word like violence or hatred. Now, my sister was involved with someone who was doing an experiment with rice, and they had three containers of rice. One had love and peace and joy written on the container. Mm-hmm. One had nothing, and then a third one had negative words like hatred and anger. And mm-hmm. within a very short period of time, the container that had the words hatred and anger and fear began to break down. The rice started crumbling. It got brittle and was beginning to crumble, and also began to form a kind of mold or some kind of growth, something that you wouldn't want to eat started growing on it. Okay. The one that had nothing on it, after a few weeks, was pretty much like you would see rice, buying it out of the store, but going a little bit towards being a little powdery around the edges. And the one that had the words of love and peace and joy was like perfect. And they were doing these experiments with children, so they could really see the power of their thoughts, the power of their words. And so when the interesting thing is, when I put a crystal in a vase and I put the words of peace and clarity and coolness on it, it was fine. I even put ice in the vase, and I didn't pay attention to it for a couple of days, and then there was a Thursday when there was another explosion at the nuclear plant, and the side of the vase blew out, and what I realized was I had been focusing on the rods being cool. I had not focused on everything being stable and in perfection. But I was, my point in saying all of this is that my sense is that things got worse in Japan as people began to watch the devastation and got caught in the drama of what appeared to be negativity rather than shifting the vision, shifting the idea, recognizing that we can transmute Emoto's experiments show that we can transmute the molecular and atomic expression of the water by remembering that it doesn't matter how much radiation has been poured into it, that there is an idea in infinite mind of, it's a perfect idea of what water is, what the water in the Sea of Japan is, particularly the entire pH factor, the whole chemical compound of the water in the Sea of Japan, in the Pacific Ocean, you know, and they're all subtly different, in a river, in a lake, in a pond. There is an idea. Plato, in his Republic, talked about the realm of ideas where there's the perfect idea of everything on the planet. And what we see, or in the universe, what we see in expression is a variation of that perfect idea that's in the one mind. So what I'm saying is that we have the potential to hold ideas and feelings within our hearts of the perfection of the water, of the perfection of the air, and help to restore its memory. I mean, one of the reasons that we talk about prayer being an act of remembrance is that we're remembering what the thing is in the one mind, what the original idea for the human body is, the original idea for the water, the original idea for the air. And that allows things to come back on station and pick up the broadcast. It's always broadcasting what's the message of the perfection of how things go when in the creator mind. So
now, what disrupts the broadcast, Maisha?
I think, you know, we have free will, right? And we get to fantasizing on all kinds of negative things and positive things, and we go back and forth amongst different kinds of thoughts about how things are, and we react emotionally to things. And you know, if we talk about the Earth, I do want to talk about the earthquake and recognize the Earth is alive and conscious. And it has to relieve pressures. You know, their pressures that build up is no different than our physical bodies. I mean, eat some beans and tell me that there's not some pressure that has to be released sometimes. After having...
Exactly, agree, yeah.
Yes, a bit of flatulence. And it can come rumbling out in a kind of volatile way. Or, and I'm just being very upfront and human with this. And we all know that everybody who's listening, I'm sure, has had a moment when that has come upon you. Gas has come upon you, flatulence, whatever you want to call it. And you do not want to be embarrassed by a loud noise. And so you can kind of move your body around a little bit so that it sort of eases out silently and effortlessly and without, well, not always effortlessly, but definitely quietly. And nobody really knows, especially if you kind of ease away from the crowd. And so I'm saying that because the Earth has pressures of gases and liquids and solid things at this
point. Anyway.
Right.
That have to be released.
That have to be released. But it can happen gently. And so we can speak to the Earth and say, you know, we know that you have to release pressure, that the tectonic plates have to move, but we also know it can move so subtly, so gently, so easily, that on the surface we wouldn't even really feel it. And so what we're asking you to do is gently, peacefully, in a way that maintains safety and security for all of the life forms on the planet. And we know that this is possible because it's happening all the time. Just every once in a while in our human experience, in our Earth experience, we've had the more volatile eruptions. But it doesn't have to happen like that. And so I believe, I know, it must have been about 5 years ago, I was meeting with a woman who works with the HeartMath Institute. And she was giving me a personal training session in some of their processes. And I looked at her, and we were very sensitive. We'd been, you know, doing a lot of work for several hours. And I looked at her, and she looked at me, and I said, are you getting a sense that something is about to happen? She said, yes. What are you getting? And we both realized that we were in Marina Del Rey, and it felt like there was an energy that said an earthquake could happen. And we both said, you know, but this doesn't have to happen. And so we both just went into deep meditation and said to the Earth, we know you're releasing the energy. We know you're releasing tension and pressure, and we know it can be done peacefully, gradually, gently. And so we are in at-one-ment with you. We're in attunement with you in this moment, calling for just a gentle, easy, just peaceful and gradual and gentle movement. And, you know, about 30 minutes later, we opened our eyes and said, okay, we're good. Now, some people listening can say, oh, okay, you guys had some really vivid imagination. And maybe nothing was happening. Maybe you were just tripping on it, you know, just feeling your Cheerios, thinking that you really have this kind of power. And I do believe that we do, that we're connected with everything.
We are everything. And by the way, what you're saying goes for us as well. The more that we're in tune, we know when to release. That's my thought would be our free will to how to release. It's not to release or not to, but with the conscious awareness, we can release more gently, right? More in a centered fashion.
Yes, we can. Yes,
now,
we can in all of our relationships.
Do you have a website? I want to make sure because we're winding out of time. Yeah, I know. You have to come back on.
Yes,
a website
by
any chance?
Yes, the one that is up right now is Kepra-IAM.com. And Kepra is spelled K-H-E-P, like in Peter, R-A-IAM.com. And the Center for Inner Peace website will be up in a couple of weeks.
We just
made the decision to restart and use the name Center for Inner Peace more than Kepra. We just got that flash a couple of weeks ago. We needed to do this.
There's a lot of that going on right now, a lot of honing, a lot of, you know, kind of redefining and making more ideal as we shift.
Yes.
Always wonderful to have you on the program, Maisha. And our guest has been Maisha Hazard. You can reach her at Kepra-IM.com, and that's Kepra-IAM.com.
Right.
Thanks so much for being with us. Pardon me?
Kepra, yes.
Oh, okay. Kepra-IM.com. Thanks so much, Maisha, for taking the time to share with us.
It's my joy. It's my joy.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
Peace out. Bye. Bless you. And thank you, listener participants, for being here and sharing on Awakenings. For further information on Awakenings, you can go to awakeningsatselfandlight.com. I love your questions, so it's great. Keep sending the email questions in. Of course, you can call in as well to the program, 347-539-5122. Press 1 on the keypad, and I will pick up. We always have great guests here, great information, and always great people in the chat room, wonderful, aware, light beings in that sacred space of empowerment. So lots of love and light to all of you. Until next time, keep shining your light and keep awake. Awakenings airs every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time. For more information, you can email awakenings@selflight.com. Wake.